Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. There's so much going on in the world today. We're going to talk about some lessons the government could learn from real estate investors. And we're also going to talk with Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki today on the Real Estate Guys. Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating for the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
When the housing market crashed in 2008, San Antonio led the way in appreciation and cash flow. Would you like to have a strong, reliable investment that performs in both up and down markets? Cash flow is the key to successful investing, and we have tons of positive cash flow properties for our ATW investors. Come see why the Milken Institute rated San Antonio the number one economy in the United States, and why San Antonio is the only major city in the country to have a AAA bond rating. ATW Investments can teach you strategies for building strong, secure wealth with investments starting at $5,000. ATW's patented, proven, and powerful system will do all the hard work for you. ATW is where the perfect market meets the perfect strategy and produces the perfect results in your portfolio. To get started, go to the resource section of the Real Estate Guys website or email us at contact@atw-investments.com.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm Robert Helms. Let's meet our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, I'm kind of relieved because we've gotten through this four-week course of a study in real estate philosophy and the ways that we think about investment philosophy, markets, team, and property. And so today we're taking a completely different turn. It's an election year. And so the first thing we need to say is that one of our guests happens to be running for president. Now, that is not any kind of endorsement. That isn't a political statement. The Real Estate Guys aren't political. We're very agnostic. We're interested a lot more in policy than politics.
Right. I mean, ultimately, the policy that is implemented in any society is going to impact the businesses and the local economic drivers that affect your business. You know, everything from interest rates with monetary policy to lending standards to building codes to what is going on with respect to immigration and population and whether people are coming in or going. It happens on a national level. It happens on a local level. It happens on a city and municipality level. So these are all things we have to pay attention to as real estate investors. And one of the big things we always have to do is discipline ourselves not to get caught up in the way we think things should be. We have to look at the way things are or what is being planned by the people who have the ability to implement those plans. And then we pivot off of that. And so it's good to have an understanding, number one, and then to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, because if this happens, then I do that. If that happens, then I do this, and so on and so forth. So it's important. And so hopefully everybody will stay tuned in, irrespective of how you feel about the particular presidential candidate that we're going to be talking with and about today.
Now, we've had different presidential candidates as guests over the years, yet have we interviewed somebody who became president. So full disclosure, it's not about that. Obviously, Donald Trump is a real estate guy, probably the ultimate real estate guy. That's what we're really interested in. But you can't be in a room with the man today without somebody asking about what's going on in politics. And there are definitely some things there that are going to be important for real estate investors. Again, doesn't matter what side you're on, as we're looking at what the candidates are saying, what they're promising, what they think the issues are, and where we think there's a chance that things are going to go, that affects us as real estate investors. Policy affects what happens to our tenant base. That's kind of the mindset. But we really think that there are some things that the government could learn from real estate investors. What does that mean? Does it mean we're going to all parade into the Capitol and give testimony? No. It means that the way we think as real estate investors isn't exactly the same as other business owners, certainly not as employees. And we think there's some good lessons here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we say all the time that how what you think and what you believe affects how you behave, and how you behave affects the results you produce. And in your own personal life, what you pretty much have control over is what's going on in your own life. politicians have control over lots of things, including what's going on in your life, in addition to their own life. And so what they think and what they believe also impacts things. But we can take a look at business. And, you know, we thought this would be kind of a fun show, not that we're policymakers and we're not necessarily lobbyists or out there. We don't have it. Believe me, nobody is listening to the Real Estate Guys making public policy. But, you know, if we could be king for a day, and we could take the things that we've learned in real estate investing and business and apply them to running a country, what do we think would really matter? I think the first thing that matters in any business is always, always, always be adding new customers.
Absolutely. If I'm a rental property owner, I need to always have a line of tenants. I mean, not physically waiting, but there's always wants to be demand.
But that would be okay.
That would be okay too in some situations. I want to make sure that I'm lining up more property. I need more customers. I've got all kinds of customers as a real estate investor that I need to focus on. And like you said, in any business, if we're not adding new people, we're withering and dying.
Yeah. Most economies are very dependent upon perpetual growth, which means you've got to be growing your businesses, you've got to be growing your employment base, you've got to be growing your population. And some people say, well, gee, but the country's already too crowded. I get that. But we're in an economic system that requires growth. And if you're investing for growth, as most of us are, then you want to invest alongside that. The policy may be, hey, I don't want to get any bigger than I am. But the fact is, it needs to get bigger if you want your investments to grow. So what does that mean from a government perspective? Well, you know, if I'm the government, who's my customer? My customer is really the businesses and the population. And since the flow of money is from the population through the businesses, right, because the businesses are what is the organizational structure by which the people become productive, you have to create an environment as a government that's friendly to business. If I'm creating an environment that's friendly to businesses, businesses will form and people will come. And so I'm going to be adding new customers by attracting new business. I do that by creating an environment that will attract those businesses.
All right. Lesson number two. More employees in your business doesn't necessarily mean you're successful. We see real estate investors who have been casual investors. They own a fourplex here, a couple of houses here, a part of a commercial building, and then all of a sudden they get the bug to go full time. And one of the first things they often do is to bring a team. And we're big about team, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. Go back and listen to our show in the archives about building a real estate team. But don't let the cart get before the horse. You don't want to just go out and build a big team and a big set of machinery until you have the income and the customers to be able to sustain it.
Yeah, and that really speaks to the concept of growth of government. You know, if the government is growing faster than the economy, in other words, if the productive sector, which is the economy, the private industry that produces things and sells things abroad and brings money in, if that is not growing faster than the government, then the capital that would be deployed into the private sector and production is being sucked into the overhead, if you will, of the government. The government's role, at least the way I understand it, is to facilitate the private sector. So think about it in a business. If I'm in a business, I've got finance and administration, right? I've got my bookkeeper, I've got my accountant, I've got people who run my computer network, the people who run facilities and make sure the toilets work and all that stuff. Very, very important, but they don't produce any revenue. They don't produce any products or services. What they do is they support the people that do. So the only reason they exist in the organization is to empower the people that drive revenue and drive customer service and production. If you look at government as being the finance and administration department of a company, if you grow your accounting department too big, too fast, before you have the revenue to support them, if they begin having their own power base and it becomes about growing their departments and burning up their budgets rather than existing to be more efficient in sales and marketing and production, pretty soon you don't have enough making it to the bottom line because there's not enough revenue and production to support the overhead.
Unfortunately, we've seen this up close and personal.
We yes,
got
we
very
have.
Successful. We hired a world-class CEO who had 27,000 employees and ran our business the same way. And we had layers and layers of this, and it was the wrong direction to go. So that one's near and dear to our hearts. Number three is this. You're going to get this instantly as a real estate investor, but not everyone understands that cash flow is not the same as profit.
Yeah, this one's huge. We talk about this all the time. And if you've ever known anybody, if you've ever lost a job or you've ever gone through a situation, you know, back in the days pre-crash, easy credit days, right? People had huge credit lines, home equity lines of credit. They had, you know, access to all kinds of business loans because it was just all kinds of cash out there chasing debtors. They were people trying to produce paper, if you will, in other words, write loans. And so you were able to spend, and you could spend beyond your income and compensate for that with your credit as long as you had increasing credit lines. And so if you're doing that and you don't recognize it, just because I'm making my payments every month, if I'm not realizing that my assets are declining because I'm leveraging them or selling them, and I am increasing my debt to the point where I am going more and more and more into debt, if at some point my dependency upon that credit line is such that if the credit line were to go away, I'm done, you're vulnerable. And that's exactly what happened. People had their credit lines shut off pretty unceremoniously. I mean, I had it happen to me. And all of a sudden, you're counting on these credit lines because you don't have any other alternative sources of liquidity. And up to then, you've been maintaining the illusion of prosperity because you look like you're doing well. You've got the car because you can make the payment. You've got the house because you can make the payment. You've got the boat because you can make the payment. You've bought new clothes and you're sending your kid to college because you can make the payments. And then you're making the payments. And pretty soon, one day, you've got so much debt that you're having to borrow to make the payments. Well, it's no surprise. That's a train wreck waiting to happen. Anybody that looks at where most governments in the world are at right now, they are borrowing to make the payments. It seems pretty self-evident that that is an unsustainable model. At some point, you are going to have to do the difficult thing. And if you don't do it, somebody is going to do it for you. You've got to cut expenses. And if you think, oh, the answer is I'm going to raise revenue, think about this. When you're trying to attract customers, if you raise the price, do you attract customers or do you cause customers to leave? So if I'm running an apartment building and I raise the rent, does that mean I'm going to get more people moving in or less people moving in?
That's a fairly obvious one.
Yeah. So if I'm running a country and I raise taxes on businesses, am I going to get more businesses moving in or more businesses moving out?
And don't we see this every single day, right? Not a week goes by that we don't see news of a big company moving to a more tax preferential state in the U.S. or a company or part of its operations moving offshore. Sometimes it's the tax part of it. It's the entity selection, and that's way beyond the scope of today's show. But here's what happens. Countries across the board that raise taxes scare people away, right? When they raise the tax rate in France, wealthy French people left.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. So I think that's a great lesson. Number four, price is not wealth. Top line real estate is an important metric, but not the most important metric. How much real estate I control in dollars isn't necessarily what I'm after.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this many times. Our very first interview with Steve Forbes, he talked about the problem of unsound money. And when you have the currency that you measure your wealth in varying in its actual value, meaning the dollar's up, the dollar's down, you don't really know what you have. So he says, you know, what if time were managed that way? What if there was 60 minutes in the day, in the hour, one day, and the next day it was 75 minutes, and the next day it was 45 minutes. How would you schedule? How would you coordinate? How would you plan in an era of uncertainty? So you might be able to absorb little adjustments, but take it to the extreme to understand the problem. If you said, okay, my goal is to invest for, I want to have $1 million, and you happen to live in Zimbabwe, and you went ahead and you did the things you needed to do to acquire $1 million, and you put $1 million under your mattress or in the bank. And then after a period of time, as we all know what happened through hyperinflation in Zimbabwe, the value of that dollar, that Zimbabwean dollar, changed. And pretty soon that $1 million wouldn't buy a piece of bubble gum. And so you didn't retain purchasing power. You retained your principal. You had your $1 million, but you were denominating your net worth in a unfixed or unsound unit of value. So rather than think, oh, I've got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that went from $50,000 to $250,000, therefore I'm richer. And then that $250,000 house would buy 10 cars at $25,000, but you know, when it was $50,000, it would have bought 10 cars at $5,000. It's only worth 10 cars. It still only sleeps 3 people. The point is, it's important to learn that having price as your denomination of wealth in an unsound environment can confuse you. So let's bring it back to, what does a government learn, right? If the government devalues the currency so that things that were selling for $100 are selling for $120, now you've grown the GDP, which is nominal, it's measured in units of dollars, by 20%. But did the economy grow by 20%? No. Well, that's why you can have economic growth. The economy expanded 3 or 4%, but we did not create any jobs, because you don't need any more people to produce the same amount, even if it costs more. 1,000 units at $120 takes the same amount of production to produce 1,000 units at $100. You haven't increased anything, right, in terms of what matters. So that's where you get a jobless recovery. The recovery is smoke and mirrors. It's nominal. And what you really have to focus on when you measure your wealth, or in a country you're going to measure your prosperity, is how much are you producing? How many people are working? You cannot continue to have a declining labor participation rate. You cannot continue to have people on welfare, on social assistance, and call yourself prosperous or having a recovery.
You know, we don't have any time for an aside today because we have presidential candidate Donald Trump on the show. But this mindset that you just talked about, I want you to ponder this. We could do a whole show on this and might. There's a big difference between preserving my principal and preserving my purchasing power.
Right.
So just dwell on that and let your mind go to work on it. All right. Lesson five that the government can learn from real estate investors. Not all jobs are created equal.
Yeah. So this is really important. So when we ever go and do a market field trip, we talk about these things called cones, or what I call primary drivers. So you own a marketplace and you've got a business like an Apple computer or Hewlett Packard or, somebody that is manufacturing something or creating some value or service and is selling it all around the world. In other words, it is pulling money in from outside of the region. That's a primary driver. And when that business is pulling money in, then the businesses that exist to support it, the people that run the dry cleaner, the local vendor selling office supplies or printing or whatever, all of those businesses that are secondary businesses are feeding off of the income from the primary businesses.
Absolutely. If I'm a dry cleaner, if I'm a coffee shop, that's a real job as long as customers come in. Which customers? The customers that live in that area because they're employed by a primary company. We can't just have an economy of dry cleaners and restaurants and coffee shops.
Well, it would be like if we had a family of five, right? Five brothers, let's say, just all living in a house together. One guy has a job outside the house. The other four have jobs inside the house. So the one brother goes out, does his job, and he hires his one brother to do the laundry, and he pays him. And the brother takes his money and pays it to the other brother to mow the lawn. And the guy who earned the money from mowing the lawn pays the other guy to shine the shoes or go to the dry cleaner. You get the idea, right? But imagine if the primary guy who's bringing money in from the outside didn't exist. What if all five brothers were living? And so they're just trading money amongst themselves, but nobody's bringing in outside money. When you have to send money outside the family, you're losing as a family. So this is the idea with a country. If we do not have companies who are bringing in business from outside and then spreading it around within the country, that's really how you do wealth distribution, right? I mean, with capitalism, then what ends up happening is you run trade deficits and you're sending money out, but you're not sending back in. Anybody can tell you if you spend money, more money than you bring in, you are eventually going to fail. And so you don't have to be a rocket scientist economist to figure this out. But for some reason, government thinks we can do this and somehow just continue to deficit spend and run a negative trade balance, and somehow we're prosperous. So if we are creating jobs that are in the service industry, and we're creating jobs where people are working in retail and food service, I mean, it's great that those jobs are there, but you know what? That is not the sign of a healthy economy. I'm concerned with how many jobs are we creating that are real primary jobs with primary businesses that are actually making the country wealthy because we're producing, not just recycling money among ourselves.
So there's some of our thoughts on what the government could learn from real estate investors. That's what we think. In a minute, you'll find out what Donald Trump thinks. He's one of our guests today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Are you still sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out when and where you're going to buy those investment properties? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Atlanta, Georgia is still on sale, but you better act fast because the deals are almost gone. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners, and I want you to know that there may not be a better investing opportunity than Atlanta right now. Listed as one of the fastest growing markets in the country, both in terms of jobs and population, Forbes predicts 26% appreciation over the next 3 years. At Georgia Residential Partners, we sell turnkey, cash-flowing investment properties. We also sell wholesale properties at insane discounts. We're launching a new home construction product this summer as well. And if you're still nervous about stepping out into another market, I will personally partner with you on a small portfolio of homes, if that's what it takes. Don't wait any longer. Check us out at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Simon Black from Sovereignman.com, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one downloaded podcast on real estate investing. We're talking today about what the government could learn from real estate investors. Lots of people have their opinions on what the government can and should do. We've had the great opportunity to sit down with Donald Trump twice this year, so let's just kind of explain that. A few years ago, we were fortunate enough to have Donald Trump on the show. He's obviously the ultimate real estate guy, a great author and a businessman. And of course, really all of his finances are public by now, but he's done well. And the first time we had him on the show was a phone call. Now, if you listen to our show, you probably noticed that almost always our interviews are face to face. We try really hard and go to extreme effort to be in the same room with folks. This guy's kind of busy. So we were just a days away from our investor summit. We did a great phone interview with Mr. Trump. Well, this year, we've had a chance to be with him twice. And in both cases, the first time was in Iowa in January. So now just remember, this is before he announced his presidential run. He came and spoke at a wonderful event called the Land Investment Expo, which was all about land investing, particularly agricultural land. And so they did it in Iowa, and Mr. Trump was the keynote speaker. There we had a chance to get face-to-face with just a few other journalists in kind of a press conference situation. So what you'll hear as we are talking to Mr. Trump is that he's going to address farmland and some of those things. But of course, even back in January, people were already asking some questions about the presidential possibilities. And so you'll hear that. More recently, we were able to catch up with Donald Trump after the fact. And of course, many of the questions asked by the press, I would say, not that they aren't of interest to our listeners, but they were all just about political stuff. We turned the tables a little bit and asked the question, which you'll hear, but what we're trying to get is what does this guy think about real estate and government and all those things? Because let's face it, whether or not he gets elected or even gets the nomination, he's out there stirring it up.
Yeah, he could definitely shape some policy. And, you know, a lot of times, depending, and of course, he doesn't really play the political game conventionally, but a lot of times guys that have big followings end up having influence on the platform of the party representative. So we'll see how all that shapes out. But, you know, it's a good idea to get inside the heart and mind of a guy who might be president and clearly knows how to make a lot of money.
And after that, we decided, you know what? Who do we know that knows Mr. Trump really well? Well, our good friend Robert Kiyosaki has written two books with him. So we decided, you know what? Let's see what Robert thinks about that. So before we're done, you'll also get some insight from Robert Kiyosaki. Up next, Donald Trump on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansch. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. If you want to expand your consciousness, expand your wealth, expand your future, and have more delight and excite in your future than in your past, keep listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Several months before Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the Republican nomination, we had a chance to catch up with him at the Land Expo in Iowa. What follows next is some questions we were able to ask, as well as some of the questions by other journalists at this very small but very interesting event. And before we're done, the real estate guys will have a chance to ask Donald Trump a more recent question. So, can our real estate guy actually make it into the White House? Let's see what he has to say. Mr. Trump, it's Robert Helms from the Real Estate Guys radio program. Hey, a lot of the talk today was about how farmers are kind of in the doldrums and farmland is slow to move. What advice might you have for folks looking to acquire agricultural land right now?
Well, the farm market will be back, and it'll be back strong. And you do have the advantage of the low fuel cost, and that probably solves a lot of the problem. But it will be back, and just hang in. I say never, ever quit, never give up. But these are great people. They don't know what the word quit means, but the farms will be back, and they'll be back very soon.
Sir, with the record high dollar and low oil prices we're seeing, do you see a tie between commodity prices and land values?
Well, they usually are, and you're getting hit here, but other places are also getting hit. And land is a commodity to a certain extent, and it seems to tie in pretty well with commodity and commodity prices. And it could very well be with what's happening with the dollar, and not so much what's going up with the dollar, but what's going down with other currencies, which are being artificially lowered by their governments in order to hurt the United States and in order to take business from the United States. That's having a big effect on Iowa land. There's no question about it. And we don't have anybody in office that knows how to protect this country, which is a big problem. That's both militarily and financially.
Next was an interesting question. The journalist asked Mr. Trump if he was a farmer, what he would raise.
Well, I don't think it would matter. I think I'd raise something. I'd probably study the situation. I'd try and do the best return on investment, but I'm not sure that's necessarily the thing. I'd do something that I love. I know farmers that want to do corn. That's what they want. I know farmers that want to do wheat. That's what they just want to do different things. So I'm not in that situation, but I do something that I enjoy. You have to do, and these are people that like corn. They like wheat. That's what they want to do. Maybe you get into it, but I would find something that I'd like to do. If you don't love it, you're not going to be successful at it.
Mr. Trump, you're here in Iowa. There's obviously a lot going on in the political world right now, and there's some talk of you running for president again. Why would this be the time for you to run?
Well, I feel more strongly now than I ever have. My own life is at a point now where I would be much more able to do it. As I said, I was doing a tremendous amount of deals all over the world. They're completed. They're very, very successful. And now I have children that are old enough to really do things that, frankly, they weren't at that time. And they'll be fantastic. And I'm just at a point now where the equal time rule. So The Apprentice, as you know, is doing very, very well. So well that they just extended for two more shows, which is, I've never even heard of anyone doing that, where they actually said the run, it was supposed to end in 2 weeks, and now they've actually added two more shows, which I have never heard of. I'm sure, but perhaps it's been done. But when that's over, I'm a free agent. I don't have a contractual obligation, which last time I had. The bigger problem was all of the things that I was doing. And I also thought Mitt Romney should win. And I didn't feel he was going to be a strong candidate, but I thought he'd be strong enough to beat a president that was very, very weak and doing a terrible job, and he was unable to do it. People see me as being a very competent person that knows how to get things done. I mean, that's been my career. I've had great success. I've made many, many billions of dollars, and I'd like to maybe put that knowledge to work for the country. Because, unless you're going to put the country back on a sound financial footing, this country is in serious trouble. But we are very, very strongly considering it. And the polls were right up until, and I will say every candidate came to my office, virtually every candidate came to my office asking me for my support. And it was, a pretty disappointing ending with what happened to Romney.
The next question had to do with how much of the campaign, if Trump decided to run, would be self-funded.
I would self-fund. I don't need money. So that's an advantage I have. So if somebody wants to contribute, I would never turn them down. I never turn down money. But I would self-fund. We have a tremendous company with tremendous cash and cash flows, and we would self-fund.
Mr. Trump, you're obviously not a politician, but if you put your hat in the ring, what fundamentals would you change if you were elected?
Well, I'd do a lot of things initially, so many and so many of equal importance. I would absolutely repeal and replace Obamacare with a much better health plan and, frankly, a plan that would cost less money for the people and would cost less money for the country, a lot less money. And there are plans that could be much, much better, and everybody could be served, but there are plans that would be much better. Obamacare really kicks in 2016. It is going to be a catastrophe. Now, already many, many doctors are leaving the business. You're losing doctors left and right because they need more accountants than they have patients because of the complexity of it. But you have a basic problem. The cost is so enormous. And these are people, in many cases, that had health plans that they loved. The cost is so enormous, and the deductibles are so high that people are just very, very discouraged and very saddened by what's going on. So I would do that as one thing. I would repeal and I would replace with something far better. And you can do it, and it will be just so much better, not only for the country, for the government, but for the people. I would make sure that China and other countries stop ripping us off. They are treating us like a very, very stupid group of people. They have no respect for our leaders. They have no respect for our abilities. They laugh at us behind. I do a lot of business with China. I made a lot of money with China. I made a tremendous amount of money. On one deal alone, I made well over, just a fortune with China, dealing with Chinese people. I have a lot of friends in China. They can't believe what they're getting away with. And that goes for many other countries. So I would stop the ripoff of the United States by virtually every country that we do business with. And I'd certainly build up our military.
Mr. Trump, we're kind of excited about having a real estate guy in the White House, but let's face it, the White House is an old building. What would you do if you actually ended up in the White House?
Well, it's sort of cute because I'm building a building that's so incredible, almost right across the street from the White House. But look, the White House is such a cherished and important building, and it's the ideas that have to come out of the White House that are most important, not the physical structure itself. It's the ideas coming out of the White House. We're in trouble as a country. And we're going to be in far deeper trouble. And if you look at the kind of projections for the next 2 years after this year, we have a very structural situation going on that after this year, 16, 17, 18, the numbers are going to be horrendous. And somebody's got to fix it, and they've got to fix it fast. It's a structural problem.
And to wrap it up, it was time to let Russell Gray ask a great question.
Mr. Trump?
Yes, sir.
Russell Gray, the Real Estate Guys radio show. You've been through several market cycles as a real estate investor,
right?
Up and down.
And you'll always have that.
Yeah. What did you learn at the bottom, most valuable lesson? What did you learn at the top, most valuable lesson? Where are we today? And then how does that experience translate into running the country?
Well, the lessons I learned at the bottom of a real estate cycle is you have to hang in there. You know, when the market crashed, and it was much worse than it is now, when the market in 1990 crashed, so many of my friends were going bankrupt. I never went bankrupt, by the way, but so many people were just going out of business. And I came up with an expression, survive till 95. This was around 1990. And one of the things I learned, you have to hang in, and you have to deal, and you have to wheel, and you have to do everything necessary. You have to hang in there, because the market will go up eventually. It will go up, and that's what happened, and it became great. And today my company is a very powerful, very strong company, and it's far stronger than it ever was in the past. So that happens. On the top, you know, you learn less on the top, to be honest with you, because the top takes care of itself. The top, when the markets are good in real estate, you know, takes care of every problem you can think of. And so you don't learn so much at the top. But I would say that what I've learned through the whole series of cycles, because real estate is all about cycles, so is the farm business and land. But one of the things I've learned is be somewhat conservative, because bad times will come. No matter what you do, bad times will come. And when those bad times come, if you have cash and if you're really liquid, where the banks can't, I mean, there was a time in 1990 where the banks had no money. They're all going out of business. And if you remain liquid and strong and smart, you can buy up the world. So remain very liquid and remain conservative, and lots of good things can happen. Now, you'll learn that as you get older. As a younger person, you know, that doesn't make sense, but you'll learn that as you get older. And that's what I've learned. But you learn much more at the bottom than you do at the top. The top is really easy.
All right. So those questions were all answered by Mr. Trump in late January. Just last week, we had a chance to be in a press conference with Donald Trump as part of Freedom Fest. And while most of the questions centered around immigration, again, Russell Gray stepped up to the mic.
Mr. Trump, Russell Gray, the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm going to switch it to housing. Millions of people lost their homes in the last financial crisis. A lot of people think that was driven by Fed policy leading up to it, and then just the way the whole housing system has worked with the government involvement. What is a healthy housing
seems like such a mundane question right now. I love the guy. He's a real estate guy. Owning the home was the American dream. It became the American nightmare. But we'll make it back, honestly, back to the American dream. Owning the home is so important. It's really a good question. And it's a very complicated question, but it's a great question. Thank you.
That's what Donald Trump says. When we come back, we'll find out what his friend and co-author Robert Kiyosaki thinks. We'll also give away a copy of a book they wrote together next as we play Real Estate Trivia. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Creating Your Future, the 2016 Goals Retreat, taking place January 8th through 10th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2016 Goals Retreat on the second weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com and register why there's still early bird pricing. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723 today.
Hi, this is Lawrence Yun, Chief Economist with National Association of Realtors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every week on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for tuning into the program. Great to hear from Donald Trump in a couple of different venues. Before we find out what his co-author, Robert Kiyosaki, thinks, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. And because of today's guest, we're going to give away a book that they both wrote, Midas Touch by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, can be yours if you know the answer to today's Real Estate Trivia question. As soon as you hear the question and think you know the answer or just want to guess, and it is a question you can certainly guess at, here's what you do. Send an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your physical mailing address so we can send you Midas Touch if you're the winner. Before we give you this week's trivia question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, we asked this: which Canadian city welcomes the most tourists? The answer, Toronto, which is also the most populous city in the country. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Trump Tower in New York City was completed in 1983 and stands 68 stories. In 1979, Mr. Trump purchased the land and original building. How many stories was the building Trump Tower replaced? Yep, how many stories was the original building that sat there? If you know, or obviously you can take a guess, send us your answer and your physical mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer will win Midas Touch, the great book by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. That's today's Real Estate Trivia question. Up next, we'll find out what Robert Kiyosaki thinks about the possibility his co-author and our real estate guy ends up in the White House. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. And you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, talking today about, could it be possible that a real estate guy ends up in the White House? And then, what can business teach the government? To get a take on all this, let's say hello to our good friend, a gentleman who has written two books with Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're good. It's always good to see you, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's always nice seeing you guys. It's always a pleasure.
You know, when we had a chance to spend time with Mr. Trump before he had announced that he was running, and then we heard he did, we thought, wow, we got to get your take on this, because you've spent time with him, you know his kids, you've written books together. I guess, first of all, what's your reaction to your friend Donald Trump running for president?
It's going to be entertaining. At minimum, entertaining. And I think it's about time, because those, I hate to call them clowns, but most of those politicians up there, they're not very exciting people. You know, they're all kind of boring. And most of them are career politicians, like the Bushes and Hillary and all this. And I'm sick and tired of it. Or they have these do-gooders who want to change things, but they can't even change their own underwear.
Right.
So I was just interviewed by Fox Television the other day, and they asked me what I thought. And I said, there's two things. I said, number one, is the reason I'd vote for Trump. I'm not political. You know, I'm not Republican or Democrat.
Right.
If Trump was independent, I'd still vote for him. But anyway, I said, there's only one Donald Trump. You know, there's no two Donald Trumps. Like most politicians have multiple faces. But having spent time with Donald over the years, there's only one Donald Trump, and is really what you see on television, things like that. He's straightforward, he's self-deprecating, makes fun of himself, and he's a very smart man. That's number one. And number two is that the reason I'd vote for him is when I look at, whether Republican or Democrat, when you look at all the candidates up there, how many of them know how to make money? You know, of all the candidates up there, all of them know how to spend money, you know, and we're all experts at spending money.
Right.
But very few people are really masters of making money. And so regardless of who it is, I would vote for somebody who knew how to make money instead of spend it. And that's what I would vote for Trump, because of all the candidates, he knows how to make money.
Well, he sure does. And really the bigger topic today is, what can business people, real estate investors, people who have to worry about things like payroll and income statements,
taxes
and all that, what can those folks, you know, teach, if you will, the government? Not that the government's willing to learn, but what are some of the lessons there?
Well, I am so extremely apolitical. You know, my poor dad ran for lieutenant governor for the state of Hawaii as a Republican, and that completely turned me off. You know, I said, never. And I vowed to God I'd never run for office.
Right.
And I have stayed as far away as possible. But just the other day, I was invited to a politician's office here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I tell you, you know, we're private citizens, we're entrepreneurs, you know, we kind of have our freedom, which we respect. I walk into this guy's office, and he has to have an attorney sitting in his office. And I said, who is that attorney for? He says, to speak to my employees' attorneys. I went, what? So do you know how bad government is now? Where that'd be like me coming into the Rich Dad Company, and I can't talk to my employees because I got to hire an attorney to speak to their attorney. And I'm sitting in this office looking at this guy, and I said, you speak to your attorney so he can speak to your employees' attorneys? He goes, yep.
Wow.
He goes, holy moly. No wonder we're all messed up. They don't even respect the boss enough. I mean, he can't even speak to them directly. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think it gives an idea of, I think, why we're down the tubes right now.
Yeah. I guess the big question is, even someone as commanding and experienced and wealthy as Donald Trump, is that anywhere near enough?
No. This is my personal belief. I think we have to collapse first. I think the whole shoot and match, the world economy, must come down. And at that point, there'll be chaos and anarchy, as you know. There'll be blood in the streets. You know, that's why I always tell people, if you're going to prepare for the future, you need precious metals, gold, silver, guns, and bullets.
Yeah.
And I think only until after it collapses and the dust settles will a new type of, it's not the old, it's going to be some type of new government comes out of the rubble. But unfortunately, I think that's about 25 years out. So anyway, I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, you know, we have lots of folks who are in that camp and feel that way. We got to spend some time in Cancun with Jim Rickards and Mark Faber and Peter Schiff
and Simon
and you and Kim. And I don't think there was a person in there that didn't feel that there was something terrible coming. And yet, look, the economy has some strength. One of the real estate consultants came out and said there's 15 years of positive real estate years ahead. And this is a pretty well-respected guy. He said the next 15 years in real estate are going to look good. I don't think we have 15 years.
Well, it's kind of hard, really. It's hard to tell. I think what is most interesting is with the stock market. You know, Janet Yellen just came out, and I don't think she's going to raise interest rates. So what is happening is the CEOs of our public companies are taking company money to buy their own shares back. So let's say I'm General Electric, and I buy General Electric shares. So the price of General Electric goes up, and then the CEO is dumping his personal shares.
Right.
You know, I'm not naming this CEO, but really, I think that's what's going on in the market. So it's this classic raise the prices so the guys can get out, and then to hell with all the investors and all those people. And I think that's really what's going on. That's why the stock market stays up.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to watch that happen. Now, last couple times we've been around you, we've got to see the early versions of the man that could see the future, this great, great, great video you've put together, and just had the big launch a few weeks back. Tell us how that's going and how folks can see it.
That's a great story. You know, some of my friends say, you know, my first video, they say, stick to writing books. But, you know, that's what friends were for, you know, hard time. But they encouraged me on, and so it went from like 20 minutes to 60 minutes, and I'm very happy with it right now. Unfortunately, I think it goes over the head of many people, you know, or I think this is the worst thing. It's people don't want to change. You know, even though they see the video and all this, say, yeah, well, that won't happen. So it's easier just to pretend nothing is going to change or they don't have to change. And as you know, and my big complaint is the American public or most people, they want life easy. So the reason we're in trouble is because they make it very easy to get a credit card. You know, it takes no intelligence. They incentivize you. You get, you know, free bubble gum, you know, cash back and all this.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to get a real estate loan. You notice that? So good debt is really hard to get. Other thing too, they make it very easy to get a 401k. I mean, now you can't, you can walk in. You don't even have to choose which one. You have to opt out. In other words, the moment you sign up with your company, you have a 401k. And this guy has no idea what the heck, you know, his future's on the line, but he has to opt out. And most people are so lazy, they don't opt out because they don't know what to do with it anyway. And so we wonder we have problems. So the stock market goes higher, they feel good. But the third thing that also happens is they make it easy to save money. And I look at it, you know, they're printing money. The whole system is, the whole fractional reserve system is printing money.
Yep.
So they go in there. You can train a chimpanzee to save money. And even notice Americans have a hard time saving money, but you could train a chimpanzee to do it. You know, you just say, here's a banana. You go to the counter there, and when you drop your money off there, the teller will fill out. You don't have to fill it out, you know? And then when you're through with that, here's your banana, and they walk off. But people still can't save money, which is a good thing. But the reason I think we're in economic trouble is that the people that control the economy have made it so easy to be stupid. And but they think it's smart, you know, get a credit card, save money, you know, 401k, you know, real estate's risky and all this. And I think that's why we're in trouble.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate your taking all this stuff. For a bunch of non-political guys, it's fun to talk about the presidency and really just lessons that are out there. It's all available to learn if you'll just open up your mind.
Right. And I think Donald Trump would be a fabulous president, you know, because it would be entertaining. You know, I think he's number two right now. So you know that when it comes time for debate, there'll actually be people watching the debate, which would be a good thing.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. Well, always good to see you. And thanks for chiming in on this show today.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's Robert Kiyosaki. He's got a couple of books written with Donald Trump, Why We Want You to Be Rich and Midas Touch, and a whole bunch of other great books you can learn all about at richdad.com. Or we come back with the Real Estate Guys. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone, without obligation, can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beerbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beerbank.com.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, publisher of Success Magazine, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. Find us on iTunes or your other favorite podcast venues, or maybe even listen live on the radio. All good stuff. Well, amazing not only to hear from Mr. Donald Trump, but Mr. Robert Kiyosaki.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. So it's rare. I mean, this is rare for us. We're pretty well connected, and we get a chance to hang out with some amazing people. And obviously, we've wanted to spend as much time as we can around the smartest people in the room. And when it comes to making money in real estate, Donald Trump's pretty good. And obviously, he's outspoken on a number of things now, and he's going to have a voice. But you always wonder, it does appear that what you see is what you get, but you never know, especially with politicians. And even though he's not a professional politician, he's a politician now. And so we thought, well, gosh, who could we go talk to who really knows him, has spent time with him, worked with him, knows his family, been out with him? Oh, Robert Kiyosaki. So we went and talked to Robert and wanted to find out about that. So, you know, it is going to be interesting. It's already been interesting, as Robert said. It's just a lot of fun to be this close to the process. And hopefully for you listeners out there who aren't as close as we are, that you can live a little bit vicariously through us with respect to that and get some insights that you might not otherwise had, because we come at it from a completely different perspective. We ask different questions. We have different concerns and insights, and we look at the world and economy and opportunity a lot differently than a lot of the talking heads on traditional television and radio.
It is our mission to bring you ideas and stimulate your thought and also hear from folks and let them talk, right? We don't have an agenda. We're really agnostic when it comes to politics. We have our personal feelings, and just as everybody does. But really, as a real estate investor, we have to get our mind around what is the group think? What's the bigger picture? Where is the country going? Where's the world going? That's what we hope to do. Next week, we're going to talk about one of everyone's favorite topics, taxes. And how could taxes possibly be reformed? We've got two really great guests, Grover Norquist and Steve Forbes, will be with us next week on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Big thanks to Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki for their great contribution to the show today. And a big thanks to Ron and Steve and all the folks at the People's Company who put on an amazing land investment expo and gave us the opportunity to sit with Donald Trump. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys radio show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys radio show.